Okay, what we're going to read now is it's titled Man, a Free Moral Agent. It's in the booklet Faith to Live By, Faith I Live By or Faith to Live By. Page 82, paragraph 1 to 82, paragraph 7. It's just a little tiny blurb. It starts off with John chapter 7, verse 17, which Jesus is speaking, where it says, "If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." And then Sister White says, "Man was created a free moral agent, like the inhabitants of all other worlds. He must be subjected to the test of obedience. But he is never brought into such a position that yielding to evil becomes a matter of necessity. No temptation or trial is permitted to come to him which he is unable to resist. God made such ample provision that men need never have been defeated in the conflict with Satan." That's a good way for her to put that. Now, a lot of people will doubt that and say, "I cannot stop doing this," or I have to do this. No, you don't. You just think you do. Because I know I've lived that life where I had to do something. After I found Christ, I found out, no, I don't have to do that. So paragraph 3 says, "Satan is the great originator of sin. Yet this does not excuse any man for sinning. For he cannot force men to do evil. He tempts them to do it." And by the way, temptation is not sin. It's when you allow the temptation to take hold. So she says, "He tempts them to do it and makes sin look enticing and pleasant. But he has to leave it to their own wills whether they will do it or not. Man is a free moral agent to accept or refuse. Conversion is a work that most do not appreciate. It is not a small matter to transform an earthly sin-loving mind and bring it to understand the unspeakable love of Christ, the charms of his grace, and the excellency of God, so that the soul shall be imbued with divine love." And I agree with her here. Like I've always said, this is the most amazing miracle I've ever witnessed in my life. Sure, I could see a man raised from the dead, but I still can't compare that to a man's mind changing, a conversion. That is, to me, the most amazing thing. Because I know I had a really messed up mind. And I've known others, too, that have had the same kind of mind problem. So, well, we all do before we find Christ. So she says, every provision has been made. Everything in God's plan has been arranged so that man should not be left to his own impulses, to his own finite powers, to carry on the warfare against the powers of darkness in his own finite strength, because he would certainly fail if he were thus left to himself. That's why, I never forget this. This one, I was in Fire Talk. I don't even know how many years ago this was. I'm thinking 10 or 12 years. Has the internet been around that long? Who knows? This kid came in there and he says, "What about these temptations? How do you get around these?" And he says, "Well, just don't do them. I mean, well, you know, you're going to be tempted. And if you do, you fall, just confess and repent, and the Lord will forgive you like he promised." But 1 Corinthians 10:13 really blessed him in a major way, which is more or less what she's saying here. You're not left to yourself. With every temptation, there's always comes a way out of it. And it's just like with, eventually the devil's going to stop tempting in that area, because the devil does not like to glorify God. And this is what helped this young man. I'll never forget this, because he was saying how, I think it was marijuana, okay? Right? He's got to smoke a joint every now and then. He's a Christian and all this other stuff, but there's a temptation. He doesn't do it, but he's always tempted. And says, if you keep going in areas, you're going to be tempted, of course, that you shouldn't be in. But let's say you're getting tempted and you don't bow to the temptation, because the Lord already makes the temptation easy enough for you to beat, and there's always a way out. The devil, because it's like the devil walks up to the Lord and says, "Well, I'm just, speaking in a metaphorical way, that he wants to tempt little Joey here with a specific temptation," and the Lord says, "No, my child will fall. Do not tempt that child with that temptation. You do not have permission." And then the devil regroups and does, he comes up with another one. "Okay, how about this way?" And then the Lord says, no, my child will still fall. The devil comes up with a really wimpy way, and the Lord says, okay, fine, my child can handle that. But in case he can't, or she can't, I also want you to leave this door open over here to make it that much easier for them to get out of it. And the devil has to listen. He can't. I mean, think about it. If the devil has to flee, and he does flee when you say, get thee hence, Satan, in the name of Jesus, and you're just a puny human, you think he's going to deny anything the Lord says? He's going to try to go against that? No, it's going to end all that he knows at that point. So she goes on to say, as a redeemed, free, moral agent, ransomed by an infinite price, God calls upon you to assert your liberty and employ your God-given powers as a free subject of the kingdom of heaven. In other words, you're a soldier, you're a worker, you're an ambassador for Christ. Act like it. Do that which you have been given to do. You're a believer in Christ, well, then you have all these tools. You have all these abilities. You have all these blessings. You have all these promises. And that's just what they are, promises. They will be, you know, taken care of. He promised. She says, you are to refuse to be in subjection to the power of evil. Let a solemn, unalterable purpose take possession of you and resolve in the strength and grace of God that henceforth you will live for him and that no earthly consideration shall persuade you to disown the divine law of 10 commandments. Amen and amen and amen. I like that. That was nice.